Hey there. Welcome to the Cosmic Fire Podcast, Cancer Solar Eclipse Edition. I'm Kairos.
And I'm Phoenix.
And we're wasted. Unfortunately, not on drugs or booze, just wasted on the Great Awakening of 2020.
Fortunately.
Moving, yet fortunately wasted. Yeah.
I feel blessed by this wastedness.
Me too. Yeah. Blessed with the blasted and blessed in the wasteland.
Mm.
It's a long lost poem of T.S. Eliot's, his follow up to The Wasteland. It never really came out the way he thought it was going to. So
The Wasteland didn't?
No, Blessed and Blasted in The Wasteland Part 2. A lot of people don't know about that, but you know, I have a double major in French and American literature, so I know a lot of these things, that these little secrets. I say that in all humility too. I mean, it's just a reflection of my white privilege. It's not like I'm really proud of it.
Are you speaking to the collective psychic wasteland?
Yes. Yeah.
Something like that. It's wild out there right about now.
It's really crazy. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I'm kind of feeling too is like we could take this moment right at the top to remind everyone to take a deep breath.
Yeah.
And just check in with that grounding channel and notice, are you even in your body right now? There's been a lot of dissociation, and hey, who could blame you for wanting to exit?
Man, that's the truth. That truth.
But then our bodies get really overwhelmed, and it's really easy for other entities and other people's energy to come into our body if we're not really fully present with it. So I'm just putting that on folks' radar today to double down on just really basics. I think when the energy's really thick, really intense, and people are exhausted, it's easy to kind of let things slide, like just basic things like drinking enough water, doing your energy hygiene practices, doing your meditations, your groundings, things like that, shielding. And this is really not the time to forget that stuff. So consider this your reminder to do all those things that you know you need to do for yourself.
Yeah, what she said. I've been really kind of obsessed with Hunter Thompson again lately.
I noticed.
Yeah. I'd like to start the top of this show with a couple of good Hunter S. Thompson quotes. This one is about the state of journalism, and so this was a long time ago. He died quite a while ago. As far as I'm concerned, it's a damn shame that a field as potentially dynamic and vital as journalism should be overrun with dullards, bums, and hacks, hag-ridden with myopia, apathy, and complacence, and generally stuck in a bog of stagnant mediocrity. Yeah.
Why say it when Hunter S. Thompson has already said it?
Yeah, exactly. So that's my sentiment on what's going on in the media right now. And then, I think this is like, it just really feels applicable to the kind of place that we're in and where a lot of us are tempted to go. And I think where a lot of people are going.
Mm.
He says, there are times, however, and this is one of them, when even being right feels wrong.
Hmm.
What do you say, for instance, about a generation that has been taught that rain is poison and sex is death? If making love might be fatal, and if a cool spring breeze on any summer afternoon can turn a crystal blue lake into a puddle of black poison right in front of your eyes, there's not much left except TV and relentless masturbation. It's a strange world. Some people get rich, and others eat shit and die.
Whoa.
That had to be at least 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Because he died in 2004, maybe 2005. Yeah, and I mean, it's just kind of accelerated, and now we're at this time when everything, you know, it really feels like the world is in the balance, but I mean, it's felt like that many times in history, and, you know, some things always survive, but should we jump into a little astrology?
On that cheerful note.
On that cheerful note, yeah.
You know what, like, I just want to say there's been a lot of really intense despair floating around the collective, and the kinds of issues that are up right now feel really overwhelming, I think, and insurmountable for a lot of people to try to wrap their minds around, like, okay, well, how do we deal with this? You know, how do we deal with these issues that are seem so big and have been going on for so long, and we're just, you know, one person tweeting about it on social media or whatever. And so I just would like to just call that out and speak to it and let people know, like, if you're feeling really overwhelmed, you're totally not alone. And there is an evolutionary force that is moving through us, and we're not doing it alone. And there is, you know, there is hope. So just want to speak to that.
Yeah, man, I was talking to a friend of mine, my attorney, in Hunter S. Thompson vein. But, you know, he's not into the New Age stuff at all. And but he's a really intuitive, really smart guy. And we were talking about just, you know, the, I don't know, just the way that this is affecting people on really every level of society except the super rich. And, you know, presumably it's affecting them as well, although they may not be aware of it as the poor are. But he said, you know, man, it's the cosmic fire. I mean, he knows what, you know, he's familiar with the cosmic fire idea. And I really think that that's sort of an important touchstone that we can come back to, is the reason everything's so intense is because the old order has to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't have that. We can't just suddenly kind of, I mean, maybe we can, I don't know. I'm all for just flitting into the next, you know, dimension over and where everything's good. But I think part of the reality process, you know, in systems theory, chaos theory talks about whenever an organism, any system gets ready to make a quantum leap into a higher level of organization, there's always this period of entropy and of things falling apart that precedes it. And I think we're in this period of extreme entropy. You know, it feels mm-hmm. like the center cannot hold. Things are just blowing out right and left.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have that on individual levels, like a lot of times, a lot of despair and even suicidal ideation right before like a massive breakthrough. It's almost like you are like, fuck it. You know, you finally just give up out of despair and frustration. And in that moment of total surrender, there's a lot of possibility for something else to come through that maybe couldn't have come through because there was too much attachment to, oh, I have to do this or I have to do that. And when you finally give up having to do anything, then you can see alternative ways of being. And, you know, we're seeing that on not only individual levels, but in all of our relationships with it, you know.
So many people breaking up, splitting up.
Yeah, a lot of partnerships dissolving. A lot of interesting things with families kind of breaking down, but then also kind of old relationships coming back around again. Is that like a Venus retrograde thing?
Yeah, that could be a Venus thing, yeah.
But yeah, it's just a really interesting time. You know, as you were talking about the old systems dying, I just was seeing the phrase in my mind, New World Order. And I mean, if that isn't, even though they say like, oh, that's a quote unquote conspiracy theory or whatever, you know, I mean, it's like, it's a well-known thing that there are, you know, there is this desire to create like a new world order, as far as like, you know, in the guise of like peace and prosperity for everyone and maybe just looking like a global government or whatever. But
Yeah. Just
that phrase, new world order, I thought was really interesting because actually, the folks behind the New World Order are the old world order. Yeah,
the real old
They're
world,
like
right?
the oldest world order. Yeah. And they're just like trying to, it's like this new packaging of like, oh, okay, this is a new thing. And it's like, not really a new thing. I mean, it might be at a new level, you know, like a larger playing field. But anyway, I just wanted to say that for all you New World Order folks out there, nice one trying to repackage the old world order, but we're not going to buy it. And you know, that's, you know, nice try. It's a desperate attempt at like doubling down on controlling all of the population, but you know, we're getting free and you can't stop that. Yeah. So enjoy.
Reissue, repackage, repackage, reevaluate the songs, double packed with a lifetime supply of vaccines, extra track and a tacky badge. It is, though. It's like, okay, well, let's package it up this way because that way wasn't working as well as we needed it to, you know?
Yeah.
Like just straight out slavery. You know, that's a hard sell nowadays.
So let's like just turn it into a prison industrial complex. You know, like slavery isn't trendy anymore. So let's just say it's like prison now, you know, or eugenics became unpopular. So instead of eugenics, let's just call
population
it
control.
Population control and reproductive health.
There we go. Climate became unpopular, so let's just call it climate deniers. That's the New York Times term for people who deny that there is such a thing as a climate. The failing New York Times, I might add. And don't go saying that he's all like pro-Trump, okay? Like, you know, don't go spreading lies, spreading very hurtful things about me. You're bringing all sorts of charges at me.
Leveling all sorts of charges.
I'm not pro. You know what? I am not. I really try to be aware of, I don't want to be anti anything.
Yeah.
I don't want to be anti-racism. I don't want to be anti-communism. I don't want to be anti-fascism. I want to be pro.
I don't want to be anti-anything, anti-establishment.
Yeah. Anti-Christian.
You know, I'm just, I'm pro-freedom, pro-imagination,
pro-love.
Connection, pro-unity, consciousness.
Pro-love connection.
Pro-love connection.
That's right, Bob.
You know what, though? I think that's interesting what you were saying about, like, don't go saying I'm a Trump supporter now. Because it's interesting. There's, like, there are these certain, like, trending catchphrases and words, like, kind of like what we were talking about, that are, like, triggers that if you say a certain thing or you question a certain thing or you employ any critical thinking or questioning about anything, even making jokes, there's a lot of shaming and labeling happening, and there's a big movement of divisiveness and dehumanization. So anytime we label people as anything other than people, I think it's a really dangerous situation. Like to label people alcoholics instead of like people who might have a problem using alcohol, you know, it's like, or labeling people like gun nuts instead of like people who enjoy owning weapons, you know,
right.
Or like labeling people conspiracy theorists instead of people who explore alternate explanations for things, you know. So I think like this thing about like taking the people out of it, like you're saying about climate deniers, you know, it's like, it's like a naming and a shaming that's happening that takes away the human component. And I think it's really important to see, like, you know, whether you're protesting or not protesting, your people, you know, and whether you're, you know, a politician or a voter, your people, you know, I mean, even the people who, you know, we tend to villainize, you know, like, oh, they're just the greedy bankers or whatever. Well, they're people who have obviously some psychological problems if they think that they can hoard wealth and resources from one group of people without hurting themselves on like a psychological, emotional, spiritual level, you know? So I don't know. I want to call that out because I think it's really damaging and it's not helpful for folks that would like to facilitate change, you know, villainizing and turning it into an us versus them situation isn't helping anything.
Yeah. And any, you know, gross generalization. So all white people, all black people, all Trump's, you know, all Trump supporters, all conspiracy theorists, what, you know, by
all
the way,
Christians, yeah, all pagans, yeah, all artists, all whatever.
We're already in a place of division at that point. We're already in a place of separation. As soon as you've labeled all, you know, this whole group, it's just, you know, it's like all trees. All trees are, all trees give you apples. Well, they actually don't, you know, a lot of them don't. Yeah, I mean, that's really important. And I think, you know, if we could just condense this whole podcast down into one thought, it's really that we feel that the, you know, the ultimate meaningful response to what's going on is to recognize when we've gotten sucked into the world of duality, because, you know, there are agendas to divide us, and these trigger words, you know, like, yeah. And so to recognize when we've gotten sucked into duality and we're viewing the world as it's me against the world or it's us versus them or whatever, recognizing that we are now part of the problem. And the only way to really be part of the solution is to come back to unity consciousness, which is, like you said, I can't steal from the commons or steal from another person without hurting myself. You know, we're all connected. And we can't win if we leave a race of people or a city of people or women or children behind, you know, to save our own skin, right? So we're all in it together. And that doesn't mean everybody's coming along to the promised land.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about being in a free will universe.
Right, it's their choice.
And that's something else, like, can we just let everyone exercise their free will? Like, and just be like, okay, cool. I respect that you're making your choices, and maybe that person, you know, even has a reason for choosing what they're choosing. And if we'd like to know more, we could ask them about it and have a conversation, because I think that's really important to like get back to having actual one-on-one conversations with real live people instead of just blasting stuff out on social media, because that's another way of dehumanizing people, you know. And this, we all fall into this, right? We all fall into like the trap of duality. Actually, I won't say that because now I'm generalizing, right? When I say that we all fall into that. But let's just say many of us have had many opportunities to fall into the trap of duality and us versus them thinking, and into the trap of going back into the prisons that have been created in our minds. So we have been indoctrinated into these systems of control, and it is at every level. You know, we get it in the hospitals where we're born, and then we get it in our families, and then we get it in the school systems, and then we get it in our, you know, higher learning institutions and our jobs. And, you know, it's just, it's constantly being reinforced. And so it's not really our fault that we fall into these traps of using the systems of control and oppression to try to create something else. And we can't create something else when we're coming from a place of trying to control other people and trying to make them do what we think they should do or shame them into doing what we think they should do. Like, that is exactly the kind of system that we would like to just let it die, right? Like, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably one of the folks that's like, yes, I would like systems of oppression and control to pass away, you know? But if we are falling into that same trap, which, you know, wasn't our fault that we were conditioned to be that way, we're perpetrating harm. So I'm just, you know, bringing that up and calling that out for each and every one of us to remain vigilant for love and for real, authentic human connection, and just watch where the boogeyman of, you know, the inner critic, the outer critic, you know, the cop, the teacher, the parent in our own mind, you know, the big brother in our own mind that's trying to control and shame other people and ourselves. Straight up.
Amen.
That's all I have to say.
Amen. all right, we're gonna remind you that we're gonna have we got a potluck in the church basement afterwards. So come on down and, you know, bring the whole family. Yeah. So I do want to talk about the astrology of the eclipse and what's going on. I promised Julia that I would do a in-depth astrology podcast type thing, but I want to do a video for that. And it's not going to happen before the eclipse, which is about 2 hours away. But to be fair, we've had some extenuating circumstances this week.
Lord.
And also I'm like doing a lot of research right now because the cycle that we're in is, you know, I mean, overview level, I really do feel like, there's this thing that came up on social media this week that, oh yeah, the Mayan calendar, the real end date is actually the date of the eclipse. It's not 2012 because of, you know, which actually is an established hypothesis that was around before 2012. I did mountains of research on 2012 and actually wrote like a little monograph, well, a 60-page monograph on it, which I may put up on the Cosmic Fire Library because I think, you know, a lot of it's still really applicable. If you think of 2012 and the cycles of time that we're talking about like 25 million years, I think, and then maybe even 6 billion, something crazy, some number I don't understand. That's from Carl Johan Kalman's work. Some of you may recognize him. But we're talking about these huge cycles of time that, you know, we get to the end of the circle on December 21st, 2012, or June 18th, 2020, or June 21st, 2020, whenever that date may be. But it's not something that you're going to feel like from one day to the next. You know, I saw something on Twitter today where it's like, the era of mind control ends on June 21st at midnight or whatever. I'm like, no, man, it doesn't work like that. You know, I don't know. It's like, you know, summer is here officially, so there will be no cold until December. You know, it's just going to be hot every day and with no change. And so that's not, you know, with big cycles, astrology works like the rest of life. You know, it's like you ease into it. You know, it's like you turn 10 and, you know, you don't grow 3 inches overnight, but by the end of your 10th year, you may have grown 3 inches, right? So that's one level, is that we're in this great awakening period. And, you know, one of the to me, most remarkable features about the Mayan calendar and what that 2012 date represented was that it signals the start of a new experience of time. So it moves us from Chronos time to Kairos time, which is my time. So that's good. It moves us from a quantitative, divisive, separation-oriented, linear timeline. You know, so typically we think of Chronos time. It's like you're born, you got these little dots along the timeline, and then you die. So it starts, there was nothing, you start, you end, then there's nothing. And, you know, Kairos time, or a more holistic, non-linear time, says, hey, it's all happening right now. And eternity is not a very, 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 very,
very
fun time. Long time. Right? It's eternity is the now. Eternity is when we're in the imagination. We're not in the rational, self-dividing mind. So we can access eternity at any point if we can get into our body and quiet the monkey mind and get into our imagination, which is how we win. You know, it's how we change everything, is by repeatedly choosing imagination over reason or rationality.
Yeah, or over what's presented to us as the only possibilities or what's real.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's, it's just, if you, Phoenix read me while we were driving the other day. She read me maybe the best piece of propaganda writing that I've seen since the whole coronavirus thing started, which was basically not using critical thinking to tell you that if you believe in anything other than the most materialistic pseudoscience that's being presented by the media as truth, that you have a cognitive problem.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, and they're like, fortunately, there is a cure for this cognitive problem. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be a pharmaceutical drug. But yeah. It was actually
critical thinking.
Yeah.
It was so ironic and interesting. And maybe we can put a link to it in the show notes. Yeah, we should.
So I want to do a whole video crazy. On that. Yeah. Because if you apply any critical thinking at all to that article, you're like, wow, this is just really it's pure propaganda. It's terribly written. It doesn't even have internal logic that holds up.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just a bunch of name-calling.
I don't think that person had an editor or like any kind of editing process at all. But, you know, I mean, whatever. It's like an online article. It's like, maybe 200 words or something.
But there's so many things like that that are being pushed that if you actually do read with attention, you're like, oh, this person has an agenda. Oh, that wasn't maybe technically a lie, but that was obviously only telling one side of the story and then representing it as the whole story. So I'm not sure how I got sidetracked on that.
Journalism, it's a theme.
Yeah. Yeah, a bunch of hag-ridden myopics. But we want to choose imagination. That's what's being sold to us as fact right now, you know. And it's, if you're on the right, you know, in quotes, then you're being sold these facts about the people on the left. If you're on the left, you're being sold these facts about the people on the right. And that's not actually how life works. You know, that's how this reality in the Matrix works, but it's not how real reality works. So this eclipse is a big one. It's interesting because we had an eclipse in 2001 on the summer solstice, the last time we had a solar eclipse right on the solstice, in the same degree of Cancer. So this is an annular solar eclipse, a ring of fire solar eclipse, not visible in the Western Hemisphere as far as I know. I think it's Africa and Asia mostly, maybe a little bit of Europe, but, you know, it's a pretty powerful eclipse. It's definitely the most powerful of the three eclipses in June and July. And it's interesting, in the very first degree of Cancer, right? The sign of home, family, loyalty, loyalty to country, loyalty to tradition. Cancer, in traditional astrology, a lot of people, pop astrology, people think Cancer is about the mother, but it's actually the good father, you know? So that's why Jupiter is exalted in Cancer. A little tip for you, astro babies. So the last time we had this combination of events, solar eclipse, first degree of Cancer, on the solstice, it was followed up by 9/11 in the fall. And we have this crazy signature, and Julia, if you're listening to this, this is what I'm going to do the video on, go way in depth into these connections. But there's, you know, we definitely have more big stuff coming up in September, October, November. We can count on the second wave probably, because they've been drumming it up ever since the first wave began. So you know they're going to throw something out there. The media is going to throw something out there. But I think it's going to have a lot to do with the election. And I really feel like a lot of the I don't even know what to call it, because it's not, you know, the rioting. I mean, I don't really think it's rioting. I think it's organized thuggery.
Mm.
And not by the part of black people, for the most part, by the way.
Not the actual protesters, but the weird factions that are going in and using the movement for their own political means.
The people who dress disturbingly the way we do.
All in black.
Yeah, I've been nervous a couple times. I'm like, oh, I'm wearing a black hoodie. I'm carrying a skateboard. And, you know, somebody's going to shoot me just thinking I'm Antifa or whatever. But, you know, so there's a lot more that we're going to see before the end of the year. And this is a new beginning. You know, it's a new beginning in the themes of what does cancer represent? It represents our ability to have boundaries around ourselves and those, the people that we love. It represents our ability to connect to our heart and connect emotionally to the people and things that we love. And I think the challenge in this eclipse is, how do we do that when it seems like Rome is burning around us, you know, or everything's falling apart, right? And really, I think, as you said earlier, the answer is we just do it. We exercise our free will and we say, hey, you know, yeah, I would love to solve all of the problems of oppression, you know, and patriarchal systems right now. I'd love to be doing this. I'd love to be helping these people. I'm scared about this. I have feelings about this over here. But ultimately, is that helping me to be pulled out of my body, you know, and down whatever social media rabbit hole? Nah, it's not. It's not helping at all. So we just come back to ourselves, you know, and we do the practices that enable us to be in our bodies, to be connected vertically, you know, to our spirit. Mercury's retrograde. Mercury went retrograde in the middle of the week. Venus is about to station direct. So Venus stations direct, I think, on Thursday this week. Does that sound right? Wednesday or Thursday? Om Shukraya Namaha. I think I'm at 39 days now of my mantra. This might be day 40, actually. Woo! Yeah, so 40-day mantra challenge over at Cosmic Fire continues. Man, I feel like I could go on, and also I feel like we kind of really nailed the energy of it without talking so much about the planets. I wanted to say that we are doing a series of calls for to support you during this eclipse season. So, you know, as Venus stations, that's a big one. Mars is going to move out of Pisces Pisces into Aries. That's going to be a big energizer. And Mercury is going to be retrograde. We got another eclipse on July 5th, and obviously it's an intense time. But on June 27th is a Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific.
Next Saturday, yeah.
Next Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
We've got our next call. So that's free for all members of Cosmic Fire. You can access it for a one-time monthly donation of $11 if you would like to be involved.
Yeah. Hop in and hop right back out if you want.
Yeah. We're so confident that you're going to love it here that you're going to be giving us $11 a month for the rest of your life.
That's right.
Until we raise the price. Because we got our eye on some property in South America. Okay, just kidding. I've been tripping out on the, I'm teaching this alien patterns in astrology class, and pretty much every major psycho killer cult leader was, you know, at least had a Irani and something going on, and had usually two or three different alien patterns. So we've been looking at Jim Jones and Marshall Applewhite.
Well, between the two of us, we've got three, so...
Yeah.
Hey.
We could do it. Oh, you know what happened in on this same... So, and I'll talk about this in the astrology video that I'm going to try to get out next week, but it'll be coming out soon. So, eclipses run in these patterns, these, like, that last 14 or 15 centuries, called Saros cycles. And there was a Saros eclipse in this series in May 2020 or May 2002. So they're 18 years apart. And there was one on May 20th, 1966. And I was doing a little research to see what was going on at that time. That's when the country of Guyana, where Jonestown ended up happening, like declared its independence. It was like right on the on this series of eclipses. So that has really no relevance probably to anything, but
it just feels like there's a lot of energy for potential big changes to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really feels interesting that it feels like things could really go either way at this point. I mean, we know in the long run, consciousness wins out, right?
Yeah.
It's like you can only stay asleep to the truth for so long. You know, you can only believe in separation for so long.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. And, you know, what's been really heartening to me through this whole thing, I mean, I'm thinking about when Daytona Beach opened, you know, we'd been locked out of the commons for 60, 70 days by then. So we went to Daytona Beach and went to the beach. And it was like a really mixed crowd, you know, black people, white people, Latino people. And everybody was just happy to be at the beach, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it's like we went to Hollywood Beach, you know, north of Miami a couple times. And it was the same thing. It was really mixed. It wasn't all white people, you know, it wasn't all Latinos. It was just like white, black, you know, Cuban, Mexican, whatever. And everybody's like, you know, people smiled. They said hi. If you happen to go within, you know, anywhere close to within 6 feet of them. And, you know, it's like, it just really struck me like we all, again, that we all want the same thing. You know, we all just want to feel good. We want to have enough. And I think, you know, there's, it's like, we're not, definitely not saying ignore oppression or, you know, pretend, spiritually bypass and pretend that there's not a lot of work to be done. But also, you know, just recognize if you're being hooked into someone else's agenda, that's not really helping.
Yeah.
You know, because this is the time to come back to, we have the power. We're going to win. We win through consciousness. We win with joy. We win when we do, when we live, when internally we are creating the world that we want to live in externally. So when we have harmony and integrity within.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that thing you were saying about like the loving father archetype, it struck me how, whoa, it's such an important time for us to like double down on having very healthy boundaries and feeling protective towards our own energy, our inner children, people that we really love and cherish, this beautiful planet, you know, our own sanctuaries that we're creating, whether that's a sanctuary in your mind or the sanctuary of your body or the sanctuary of your home. It's really important for us to create and maintain those safe spaces and anchor that frequency for others, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Liberation, let's see. Liberation starts at home.
Mm-hmm. Liberation starts in your own mind.
Yeah.
Free your mind and...
your ass will follow. Or to quote Hunter Thompson one more time, if you kill the body, the head will die.
Oh, man. You know what? That reminds me of like something that's like been so important for me to keep coming back to is the... coming from the heart mind, coming from the intelligence of the heart and letting the head follow the heart. So,
yeah.
Thanks, Hunter S.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for looking out, buddy.
Oh, dude, you know, he, you know, there's a part of him that's like wishing he was here because there's nobody taking up the slack. But, you know, I mean, who could? He was a force of nature. Oh, man. Okay, well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Stay safe.
Love you all.
Stay real. Stay sweet, Denise. yeah, we love you, and we'll be back in a couple weeks, and we're always around.
Yeah.
Cosmicfire.org.
That's right.
Yep. Check it out.